Brother, I'm going. Run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold.
What is good, everybody? It's We Too Deep. We're back with another episode of the Slappin' Me Wrestling Podcast. A surprise episode as Bash at Berlin is done, is over with. Just my initial reactions. Typically on these shows, on these foreign shows this year, I haven't been off of work and had to watch them after the show aired. And so I never really did one of these things, or I'm typically, you know, at work while it's live, and then I watch it when I get home. And typically we do my reactions on the Tuesday show following, right? But what I wanted to do was, because I was off today, because I was able to watch it live, I do have some things that I want to talk about, just sort of my own reaction. And because I'm going to spend the majority of next Friday's show covering No Mercy and the fallout of that, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time having to go deeper into my thoughts from what we go into when I talk to Wavy D on Tuesday. So on Tuesday show, you'll hear some of my same thoughts, but you'll also get I'll get a few more days to think about them, right? And so I'm the type of casual fan where I'm a fan, and so I think about these things, and because I podcast, and like my whole week is consumed probably about 60% of wrestling, whether watching, thinking about it, planning for the podcast, right? That's how my week goes, right? It's one of the things that I find joy and comfort in, and I'm going to talk about that more Friday. So Tuesday's episode will be sort of Raw review, this Bash at Berlin review with Wavy D, see what he has to say about that. And then Friday show is more so going to be, there's a documentary I want to talk about that I started watching today prior to Bash at Berlin that I want to talk about. And it's really just going to be a little bit more personal in terms of why I love wrestling. What about the wrestling world makes me excited? Why am I a fan? Right. And so we'll dig a little bit deeper into that, as well as a No Mercy review on Friday, just to preview that. Right. And so typically what I typically do is I'll talk to Wavy D. We don't go too in depth. I kind of let him, you know, because he only does one show a week with us, and I have two shows I can sort of explain my opinions over. I go deeper on the Friday show of what I say on the Tuesday show. Well, I want to go ahead and do that right now, right? And so let's start with the first thing, and that is the Open Challenge was moved to Friday night. I didn't watch SmackDown. It was pre-taped. I watched TNA Emergence, which I may cover a little bit about that on Friday as well. I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like I missed a lot from this SmackDown, right? I don't like that the Open Challenge was answered by Kaiser. I don't like that it was moved to the Friday night show, right? I feel like you had enough time on the actual PLE to have that on the card. So that's the first thing about this that I want to talk about. I'm not a big fan of them moving the Open Challenge to Friday night, right? But as for the actual card, we start with Cody versus Kevin Owens, which felt like your typical house show or indie show match, right? And that's exactly what I expected this to be. It was going to be your typical indie show match, right? These are two guys that ran the indies, that know the indies, know what the Europe crowd wants, and they gave us that match. Now, us American fans over here don't understand that, right? And especially if you're more casual of a fan, where you don't understand sort of the nuances of the independent scene, where the indie shows tend to be more of that style of not necessarily fast-paced, get the crowd behind you, but your starting match is going to be a typical wrestling match. It's going to, you know, you may have a slow pace to the, right? And so now we kind of got what we expected. I got what I expected out of this match. Cody Rhodes retains because Kevin's not able to go all the way to beat him. And it's weird for because of who Kevin Owens is. We've seen him, if you've been a fan for an extended period of time, we've seen him against friends like Sami Zayn completely turn on him in a heartbeat. And so it's kind of weird not to see a turn happen, but I didn't expect it to happen, right? So yeah, this first match did exactly what I thought it was going to be. Then we get Jade and Bianca versus the Unholy Union, which is the match I thought should have started the card to give us this adrenaline rush of energy. Jade and Bianca won. Wasn't the best match. Wasn't the worst match. I will say this. When Jade comes in and she tries to copy Bianca, it really just, that's what messes her up. That's where, when she tries to go fast-paced, that's what messes Jade Cargill up. If Jade gets a hot tag and just comes in, you right, have Isla Dawn or Alba Fire run at her, have her do the big boot to one of them, clothesline the other, and then like a power, like a Samoan drop, and then have a finishing move like the leg drop or something, right? And book her like a Big Show or book her like Kane or right, and be that unstoppable force like that. I think it makes her look stronger, makes her look better, and she doesn't have to do all the things Bianca can do, right? Bianca should be the one taking 90% of the damage, doing 50, 55% of the match, right? Getting that hot tag in, and Jade puts it away, right? And it shouldn't be any more complicated than that. With that said, again, your standard match. You know, both of these matches weren't sort of for me. I'll be honest with you, the first four matches, right, really didn't really care. They were, you know, on my out of five scale, I would give all of the first four matches 3 out of 5s or 6 out of 10s, right? They did what they were expected to do. Match number three being the strap match, which did what we expected it to do. Punk got the win like we expected Punk to get. He gets the bracelet back. I didn't expect that to happen. Part of me expected that if Drew was going to win, it was going to be Punk got distracted by the bracelet, went after that, which caused Drew to maybe attack him with the strap or whatever. But I don't know. I just, this Punk-Drew match just, I'm not a fan of the whole strap match gimmick. I think it's a little bit, you know, it's especially if you don't truly understand the rules to it. A lot of it wasn't realistic to me, like, or logical. I dozed off a little bit during this match. It just wasn't for me, right? I don't really care about the storyline. Kind of wish that it's over. It should be over, right? Because Punk was in this feud to do two things. Get back his bracelet and get back his pound of flesh. Well, he did both of those things in this match. Logically, that feud should be over. There shouldn't be a third match. And so that's what I hope ends up happening. Match four was the mixed tag match. Again, exactly what I thought it had. Now, the ending was weird to me. I didn't expect the finish. I thought Liv and Dom had to win the match to get us to Bad Blood. And I, you know, Judgment Day interrupted, and up to the actual three count happening, everything happened the way I thought it would, right? You were going to get a pretty 50-50 book match. Judgment Day was going to come out, interrupt. And that's what I thought would give Liv and Dom the win. Leading to Bad Blood, where it would be Liv versus Rhea in the Hell in a Cell, because you had to get away to keep Judgment Day from interfering in the match. But you have Damian and Rhea win. And I don't know where this leads. It leads to a little bit of nowhere, in my opinion, right? And then you have the main event, right? You have the main event. And this was 100%, in my opinion, the best match of the night. And I know if you're the casual audience, or maybe you just don't quite understand what you saw, this was a masterclass in professional wrestling. This is a masterclass in pacing of a match, in ring psychology and storytelling in the ring. I know Gunther got his ass kicked, but he was supposed to get his ass kicked, right? Because Randy's better than Gunther had thought he was, right? But in the end, Randy, right? So can I go back and sort of explain the whole Gunther setup for this? Gunther treated Randy like anybody else he has fought against, that he's better than them. But he's never fought anyone on the level of Randy Orton, a 14-time champion. So he tried the mind games. And obviously that didn't work, right? And I feel what we saw here was he finally found someone in the ring who was up to his level. And this was truly the hardest match Gunther has had on the main roster. And so that's what the handshake at the end was. It was, I finally found someone in this ring who could go with me, right? And so I'm going to show you that respect. I found what I've been looking for, which is someone to challenge me in the ring. And part of me feels like maybe they set up a part three. Part of me hopes we move on, but I don't know the direction we move in on this storyline. It'll be interesting to see that. I loved this match. This thing right here, it was my favorite match of the night. I believe the best match of the night. And what essentially will boil down to fan service, right? And nothing really changed hands except for Bianca and Jade, which I thought that would be the only title change, and that's the only title change, right? And so I just, as the show overall, I'll be honest with you. It was exactly what I expected it to be. It was exactly what I expected it to be, minus what I thought Dom and Liv winning, right? And so we'll give it realistically like a 3 out of 5. Realistically, that's what it is. It's a 3 out of 5. So I don't know much more what else to really say about this show. What I'm interested in is where we go from here. And what I'm also interested in is, the only person on this card that's going to be on Monday Night Raw for sure is Kaiser. Part of me wonders if, you know, that jet lag's going to play into Kaiser. Storyline, maybe on the story they talk about him, you know, going to Germany. And I don't think people realize that the show ended at 4 o'clock Eastern time, but it was like, 11 o'clock German time. And so they're going to wake up. They're going to go to sleep right now. They're going to wake up on their Sunday. And we're in about 5-6 hours. They're probably going to wake up, right? and head back to the United States and head straight to Denver, Colorado, which is, you know, if it would have ended 4 o'clock Eastern time, would have been 1 o'clock their time, right? So Denver, Colorado is, like 12 hours behind. So in Germany, it's 11:18. And in, as I'm recording this, at 5:18 my time, Eastern time. And Frankfurt, Germany, is 11:19. So they're 6 hours ahead of me. And Denver's 2 hours behind me. So Denver is 8 hours behind Germany, right? So if they leave here at 8 a.m. their Sunday morning, which would be in about 6 hours, about 8 hours, it'll only be midnight in Denver. So I don't know if y'all ever have felt jet lag before. Jet lag is a bitch. And so I wonder if that jet lag is going to really affect any of the people, right? And they do this for a living, so they'll get over it. But that's this part. I wonder if that plays in the Kaiser story. But Monday Night Raw is going to be interesting. Whole new commentary team, really a whole new canvas to paint in terms of what happens here. We're going to get the final two matches and the qualifiers. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be as good as people may expect, right? And so, yeah, I don't really have much more for Bash at Blim. My initial reactions are we got what we expected, and it didn't blow me out of the water. The only complaint I have outside of not having LA Knight's open challenge on the card would be, I feel like Gunther. So initially it was a complaint because Gunther was getting his ass kicked and it felt like 50-50 booking again. Then I sat here and thought about it. When the handshake happened, I said, well, there you go. There's the story. You earned his respect. Gunther's all about respect in the ring. And Randy Orton really is someone who respects the in-ring product, right? Who respects, once you get into that ring, gives, right? Randy Orton's never really been about the flashiness, right? I personally feel this has always been the wrong opponent for Gunther, but maybe this was the right opponent for Gunther, right? I thought Dragunov should have been the guy. A lot of people in the stream that I was watching were talking about how Gunther wasn't getting the reaction WWE probably thought. I think he got the reaction WWE 100% expected. They wanted Randy to be cheered, but Gunther was also being respected and cheered. I just don't think we I'll say this. I think the people who don't like Gunther try to find ways to not like Gunther. In the same ways that I try to find ways to not like Cody Rhodes, because I find Cody Rhodes boring, they try to find ways that Gunther is boring, right? And so when Gunther doesn't get the biggest pop of the night, you see that this was a wasted event. And I don't necessarily see it that way. I think Gunther was well-respected by the fan base there, but Randy Orton is very likable. He was also the face in the story. You're supposed to cheer for Randy Orton. And so I just, Gunther played his part well. He did a very good job at it. This was a house show. That's essentially what this was. This was a house show with that was overproduced in terms of it was televised pay-per-view level production for a normal house show, right? And so you didn't fully play into the crowd, but you played into a little bit to the wave broke out. Randy Orton started doing the wave, right? So they were given a little bit of liberty because when's the next time you think they're coming to Berlin, Germany for a big event like this, right? And so I feel like the directions here were have fun, make the crowd go home happy. And that's all that's all this event was, and that's all these foreign shows tend to be. And so the storyline has always really been pushed to making Bad Blood feel like the next big event after SummerSlam. And so that's exactly what it will be. With September 1st being tomorrow, we got about a month and 4 days before Bad Blood. And it's going to be it's going to be a fun event. I really do believe it's going to be a real fun event. Bad Blood will be fun. Got about a month, man. And we'll see what we get with Bad Blood. I think it's going to be one of the better shows of the year, to be honest with you. I think they've put a lot of build into this. I'd like to see some of the guys who didn't participate and girls who didn't participate, in terms of like having a women's title match, having an IC title or a US title match on the card. Bad Blood. I want this to be a little bit more than five matches. I'd be happy with like an 8-match card here and make this thing a big event. So yeah, let me know what you guys think. Thanks for tuning in. Let me know your opinions in the Discord. Go to the first link in the description. It takes you to our affiliate link with our merchandise, or the WWE merchandise, our affiliate link through WWE Shop. Discord link is also in the description. So go join there to join the conversation. Thanks for watching and listening. Leave a like, subscribe, comment. If you're listening on audio, go in and give us a review. We appreciate everyone who listens. I'll see you on Tuesday. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. 'Cause